on the Coyote Sports Network. From Learfield, this is the YokeCast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics, taking you inside the stories of Coyote athletes, coaches, administrators, and more. Now, here's your host, John Thayer.
Hey, what's up? How you doing? It's YokeCast, and we're back for another episode, and time is just flying by. A new semester just got underway this week at the University of South Dakota, so students are back on campus, and hopefully we continue to get students to come out to basketball games over the next several weeks as these teams try to continue to gel and figure out everything out before the Summit League basketball tournament in March. I know women's basketball just lost on Wednesday, but we have to take a moment and appreciate Grace Larkins and what she did last week. I mean, incredibly impressive. Grace Larkins has been a special player at the University of South Dakota. She might be even a better person if you ever have had the opportunity to get to know her. But last week on Thursday, she set a career high with 34 points. And then on Saturday, she turned around and scores 45 points, which set a program record for the most points scored in a single game at the University of South Dakota. The previous high was 40 points set by the great Mandy Copel. But Grace Larkins, and she recognizes, right, takes a high volume of shots. But I thought what was impressive to me on that, she attempted one three-pointer and missed it, 0 for 1 from 3. She got downhill, attacked on the inside, had great matchups, and found a way to score. 19 field goals she made in that game, which was also a program record, and just really special. And her effort got her not only the Summit League Player of the Week, but also got her the AP National Player of the Week. And you have to understand how special that is to be the AP National Player of the Week. Like, you have to do something incredibly special to get that kind of recognition. Because let's be honest, the AP is going to focus on the big guns, the UCLAs and Texas and USC and UConn and South Carolina and some of the top women's basketball programs. They're not going to check on South Dakota every week, right? And so you have to do something exceptionally well. And Grace Larkins last week averaged 39.5 points and 12.5 rebounds per game over the course of two games. She also distributes the basketball exceptionally well. So it's not just that she just takes a bunch of shots. She obviously does, but usually, most of the time when she takes shots, she feels pretty good, right, about an opportunity that she has. And so I think you have to appreciate that. Now, they're continuing to gel as a team, and it's going to be an up-and-down roller coaster of a season for women's basketball, and that's okay. Right now, they have two losses in conference play. That's it, two, right? So they just got to keep things rolling. I'll be really interested to see how they compete against North Dakota when they play them at home. That's a really hard trip going to Grand Forks. You sit on a bus for a long time the day before. You go there. You play. It's a smaller gym, whatever. They get a good crowd there. They really do, usually, for men's basketball, women's basketball. They get really good crowds. And then you got that long bus ride home. It's a tough place. There's no doubt about it. So it'll be interesting to see how they battle. They get the weekend off. I think it comes at a great time for women's basketball. They have had a lot of games here recently. Obviously played Saturday and turn around to play. You know, you play on Saturday and you turn around, you're on the road on Tuesday and you play on Wednesday. It's not easy. So they get a little time off. They're back in action at home next week. On Wednesday, they'll get North Dakota State. And then next Saturday, they get South Dakota State. So it's a big week because those are two of the better teams right now in Summit League women's basketball. So they need this rest going into that. And we'll see if they can snag a couple of wins or at least one next week against either NDSU or SDSU. All right, we've got a little bit of a shorter episode than we normally do here on the YokeCast podcast, but that's all right. We had a chance to catch up with Lucky Huber and talk about this weekend. It officially kicks off the track season, according to Lucky Huber, right? They had the meet in December, but you take time off, and this officially kicks off your track season, and it's the alumni meet. It'll be going on Saturday. We also have men's basketball at home on Saturday. You can go in and out, check out both of them. In the Dakota Dome, the Sanford Coyote Sports Center, all of that. So Lucky Huber had a chance to chat about women's track and field, men's track and field, what we can expect from those teams, kind of a little bit about their schedule, future of the program, facility enhancements, all of that stuff. We dove into it all this week with Lucky Huber.
Lucky, I'm sure it's been a long time coming, but now fast approaching the track season. You got it a little bit underway already, but now this thing goes, and it goes till May, June, however long you might get some kids going.
Yeah, the longer the better, I guess we think of it that way. So, no, it's that time of the year. We really think of the fall, even though we had a meet in the fall. We really think of it as just a time to train, get kids in shape, and then we take that little break over Christmas, and now we're back into what I would consider the track season, where kids are. We're training that way. We're getting ready to compete, and we're starting to get ready to gear up to see if we can win a conference title here.
What's the benefit of gearing up for a competition in December and then taking that time off? I mean, I know there's a lot of training that leads up to it, but is it do you look at it as a benefit to get that one competition out of the way, and then there's a long break before you really get after it?
Well, we actually think of the first meet as a time just to make sure the uniforms fit. Let the freshmen have that first college meet, get the nerves out of the way, and it really gives them something that in August and September that they're training for, gives them a little hope of light, especially for the young kids, because they're used to, you know, 2 weeks in the first track meet and three different seasons in high school. So when you're training all fall, it kind of gives you something to kind of build towards there. But nobody goes there thinking they're going to qualify for the national meet or do anything like that. It's just that chance to kind of have that first meet and kind of say, well, this is what I accomplished over the fall, and then get ready for finals and then have a little break, and here we go.
You get the new semester underway and the real start of the track season. Your overview on these teams, what do you see out of these groups?
Well, I think if we look at the men, you know, they've won a couple in a row here, been very competitive for the last few years, and I think they're going to be in that same category. I think they've got a chance to go in there and compete. You know, are we going to win? I don't think we ever know. We've learned that over the last couple of years, but I think we have a group here that if they can stay healthy can be very competitive. And it's a wide group of kids. We've got some really good distance kids, got some really good young sprinters. Our throw crew is, you know, getting pretty good, where there's some older kids that we think can help there. Got a couple distance kids, kind of Tommy there. We got our vaulter, Eric. We kind of got a good group everywhere. So, I think we're a pretty wide team as far as we've got every event pretty covered, pretty deep, and I think we can be pretty good. The hardest part is going to be is probably deciding who the 28 men are that go to Brookings for the conference meet, because right now I would say we're probably, you know, 35, maybe 40 of those kids are kids that we think can help us at the conference meet. So that's a good problem to have, but it also puts pressure on kids that every week you better go in and compete and see what you can do. The women, we're kind of in a different spot than maybe we have. We got a few upperclassmen that have been around. Erin Kenny's back for her COVID year. Sarah has another year here of indoor and outdoor. So you've got them. We got Abrielle back in the distance. So we've got some older kids, and then we've got what I think is a really great freshman class too. You know, so I think they're solid, but we just haven't really put them all together on the same track. But we've got Lydia's back. She redshirted, so this is her fifth year. So we've got some of those really older kids that I think not only can have a presence at the conference level, but also at the national level. And that's kind of exciting to see where our women will go with that. And hopefully we can get a few women to the indoor national meet and get a chance to compete for those conference championships.
How much over the next several weeks do you plug some athletes into different events just to see how they react to it and try to build that idea for the conference championship? How much of it is, you know, what their event is and they just need to lock in and keep getting better at that?
So it's kind of a combination. If you look at someone, let's take Berkeley, for example, freshman 800 is kind of her race, very dominant in high school. But if she starts running the 800 now and runs 800 every week until June, it gets kind of boring. Does that make sense? So that's a little bit more where we play with some different things, maybe run a kid down an event, maybe move a kid up an event, some of those types of things. But when you talk about the field event kids, those kids are, they're pretty well locked in. We've figured out who the kids are that can help us us there, so we don't do quite as much. But during the season, we try to not have the kids on the track do the same race every single week for the whole season. It just gets to be hard. So someone like Sarah will rest this weekend, and then she may go to Nebraska and just run one open race in a 4x4. And then the next week when we go to Kansas State, it's a two-day meet, so then there'll be a chance to run one each day and come back for a 4x4. And then maybe the next week she may not even run a 400. She may run the 60 and the 200. So we just kind of mix it up a little bit just to keep it so the kids are fresh, a little bit more exciting than every single week trying to run the same event. It gets to be hard.
How about when you get into like the multi-events? Kids don't really come here having competed in a lot of those all of the time. How do you select the kids that might be good and give you an opportunity in those events?
It's all over the board. I mean, we've got a couple guy multi-eventers that had done some in high school, obviously not South Dakota kids. And then we have Derek Eisens, who's one of our better guide multi-eventers. And he came and said to me one day, "Hey, I want to walk onto the track team. I high jumped for West Central in high school, played basketball, played football, and can I do this?" And we're like, "Well, let's try the decathlon because he's a pretty good athlete." On the women's side, we look a little bit more for someone who's maybe got a little background in maybe hurdling, so they don't have to learn all five things. It gets to be a little tough. But for the guys, if you can find someone who's hurdled and pole vaulted in high school, that's someone we're kind of looking at. They can maybe make the learning curve a little bit faster than someone who hasn't done those things but wants to learn 10 events. And outdoors 10 events is a lot. I mean, we're talking about the 1500 and the javelin throw. I mean, how different do you get? But that's what makes it fun to coach those events too.
What's the hardest part of that to learn when you're in the multi-events for a lot of these athletes?
You know, it's really different. Some kids naturally just don't know how to jump off one leg. Holly Gerberding was a pretty good multi-eventer. She was a kid who really struggled her first year long jumping. She went 14 feet for us. She ended up going over 19 feet 4 years later, so she was able to develop that. Other kids don't sometimes have a natural ability to be able to throw things. You know, and the kids, if you're not the quarterback or the pitcher, you maybe haven't thrown a lot of things, especially girls who maybe played a little softball pitcher but haven't thrown a lot. So sometimes the javelin throw gets to be a pretty tricky one for them too. But it's different for every kid, tall kid, short kid. Short kids struggle with hurdles. Just finding an athlete and finding someone who just loves to compete, and those kids seem to do really well for us.
When you look at, you know, trying to get these athletes on to as far as they can go and national meets and things like that, there's times and distances that they're trying to hit. How much of that do you emphasize throughout the course of the year on where they're trying to get to versus just making sure that they are getting better themselves, like a PR?
Well, we talk a lot about the three goals of our program. One of those goals is an academic goal, that we're going to be an academic All-American team every year. So that's one of them. The other two goals that we have that everybody knows is we're here to win conference championships, and we want to send 30 kids to the NCAA meet. So every kid in our program fits at least one of those goals, hopefully two or three of them. So every kid knows that's the goal. And we had our meeting on Sunday, and we talked about it. And there's, you know, 50 men on the team, and only 28 are going to go to the conference meet and represent our team. So they all understand that, hey, this is tough. This is big boy track. This is Division I. Not everybody gets to go to every meet, so I need to be able to go out and work hard, put myself in that position that when I do get to travel, that I can take advantage of that and try to keep improving and moving up on the performance list that way.
There always ends up being, you know, some of these athletes that our fans have heard about for 4 years, 5 years, whatever. They know how talented they are. They're always interested in who do we not know about that has a chance to really be successful, you know, quickly.
Well, I think one kid that would fit that norm would be Bennett Schwinn. Bennett's a kid from Milbank, South Dakota. I think probably long jumped 22 feet in high school. Came to USD because Coach Miles did a little recruiting on him, and he wanted to be an accounting major, and he's a smart kid. His dad's a banker in town, and that's what you do. You come here and be an accountant. And he has really developed into a great long jumper. He's gone over 25 feet, and now we've made some technical changes on his triple jump. We actually have him jumping off of a different foot, if that makes any sense to anybody, and we think he's going to be able to have a pretty good year triple jumping. So he would be one of those kids that's a real leader of that group that, you know, probably doesn't catch much limelight. He's a pretty quiet kid. He's not out there on social media. He would fit into that category really well. In the women's side, Lydia Knapp would be that girl. She is a grinder. She is a hard worker. She's working on her master's degree, and I don't even know what it is. It's something in the medical field that's not a doctor, but statistics and all kinds of smart stuff. You know how those smart kids are. But she's just a wonderful kid. And she was a kid that literally, when she came here 5 years ago, AG had recruited, and she was a walk-on. She was from small town in Nebraska, or in Iowa, been a homeschooled kid, so hadn't had a lot of track experiences, did a little bit of stuff, but not a lot, and came here and really bought into the idea of working hard, super smart, super quiet, you know, unassuming type of kid, but just a kid that we think can, you know, maybe make it to Eugene this year and really, really help us win some conference meets, because she's got a shot to be able to score in three events at the conference meet. So some of those unsung kids that work hard are great kids, and I think both those kids are probably, you know, the 4-point type of students too, which makes it easier to coach them.
If somebody looks at your team's schedule, they'll see a couple of trips to Lincoln, Nebraska, Manhattan, Kansas, a lot of relatively close trips. Is that a benefit to have some of these meets here close by?
Yeah, it really is. And it's part of what, as we build our program and we talked about our goals and this idea that we want to get 30 kids to the national meet and we want to be competitive at the conference, going to meets like that are very important. It is extremely important for a track athlete to go to a meet and get beat. You learn more when you lose. You learn more when you get beat. And so when you get beat a little bit, you're starting to think, okay, what did I do? How could I work a little harder on Monday? How could I have performed a little better? What could I have done to race a little faster? And it's part of that process. So we challenge our kids to embrace those opportunities, and sometimes we still win. We get that. There's some special kids on our team that can do that, but by going to Nebraska, Kansas State, Arkansas, we can put our kids into that level of competition that's very high, and that those going against the kids that are going to make the national meet. So it makes it for a lot of fun. So we'd like to have a mix of that, and then we'll have obviously a meet here. We'll go to Brookings, and we'll have a couple meets that are a little bit closer for kids and make sure everybody gets a chance to compete too.
You talk about some of these athletes and getting better. You know, they learn a lot from when they lose, and you always try to make them better. How do you do that? A lot of teams watch film on themselves. Is track the same way? Do you watch a lot of film on individual runners and field events, throws, jumps, things like that? What is a way to help them understand what they're doing wrong to get better?
You know, most of what you're thinking of as track and field is a skill, and we just want to work on that skill, and I consider us and my staff to all be teachers, and we're teaching that. So there's lots of times when vaulters will spend hours in with Derek watching their vault and what they can do and maybe comparing it to other people and how their vaults are different. We have a program that's similar to Huddle that high school kids would use that we use for our college kids, so they can actually see their practices, and we can watch it right there, and they can watch it at home and watch their meets. So there's a lot of that. So it's a combination of the technical aspect of it, which every kid, no matter who you are, has to work on, and then doing the work, working hard in the weight room, doing the speed work, training for to be a better power athlete. If you're distance kids, running the miles. I mean, those distance kids, some of our men are running maybe 14, 15 miles on a Sunday for an easy run. There's probably only a few people out there that think that sounds like an easy run, but that's how you do it. And so our kids are not afraid to do the work. They'll work extremely hard. It's more of prescribing them the right things to do so we can keep them healthy, and then having that relationship with them so we get the feedback on what they're getting, how they're feeling, and how do we keep coaching each person as an individual to make them better.
Alumni event coming up this weekend, opportunity to hopefully get some alumni back and see this team in action, but a few teams coming to compete against South Dakota as well. I know this is an event that you look forward to every year.
I do, and to start off the alumni part of it, both Chris and Emily are going to vault, so there will be some fireworks and some big jumps there. So they're going to get out and compete, so that's the alumni. We have a few other alumni that will run some of their old events. We got a kid, and he's probably been a teacher in Sioux Falls for 5 or 6 years, and he's going to come back and run against the college kids in the 800 and I'm sure Jeff O'Connell will work his way into the long jump, and Zach Anderson will work over to the high jump, and they won't jump quite as well as they did before, but they'll have just as much fun. So that is part of it. And then we do have some, not a real big meet, but we've got five teams coming in, or with us. There's five. South Dakota State will have some kids, Dakota State, USF, and Briarcliff, and us. So it'll be a nice size meet where it's not like, oh my gosh, I'm going to the Dome and I'm going to spend 12 hours sitting at a track meet. We're going to start about noon, and I would assume we'll get done somewhere between 4:30 and 5 o'clock. And then after that, we do a little alumni parent gathering up in the club room. And we're actually starting our recruiting process for 20 years from now. So we have a little kids race. And so the little kids line up, and Charlie will be here, and they'll race and run the 60, and we give them a little shirt, and then we'll have a turbo javelin that they can throw and hop into the long jump pit like they're jumping. And we'll have a little obstacle course for some kids to do, just something for kids to do so they can see how much fun track is while their parents visit with their friends, and our athletes get a chance to mingle with some alumni.
Yeah, it'll be great to get the competitions right here in the Dakota Dome. I know that's always special. Speaking of alumni, it seems like every year when we have the Hall of Fame banquet and Hall of Fame weekend, track and field's recognized, whether it's a team that gets enshrined, individuals, and I know you've had some recently. You've been here for a hot minute at USD. How proud are you of that time period, October usually when that happens, and you see some of these athletes come back, and obviously they're still successful, but get enshrined for their efforts that they gave USD?
Yeah, you know, and that's probably the neat thing about having been here so long. They're cycling back through where you got a chance to coach them and work with them, and it's a lot of fun. I think what's really cool is when their teammates come back and we go sit up on top of the old lumber company, and they sit there and they start telling stories, and do you remember this? And lucky you didn't even know that this is what we did, and you should have been here then, and, you know, that kind of thing. So it goes back to what we hope every one of our student-athletes have, is we want them to have what we call an amazing university experience. And that university experience isn't just track and field. It's getting a good, solid degree. It's having good friends. It's growing as a person, whether that's through spiritual life or just meeting other people and getting challenged. That's what makes college track so much fun. So I really enjoy hearing about that when they come back and hearing some of those stories and seeing how they develop. I had one young girl, Bethany, went into the Hall of Fame here, and we had a chemistry professor that he remembered teaching her in lab, and he was just as proud of her going in the Hall of Fame as I was. And to me, that's what makes USD special. Everybody else really knows who these people are. And I don't know what it's like in other cities, but I just can't believe there's any place else where track and field is as popular as it is here in Vermilion, where the chemistry professor remembers teaching you, and those faculty come to the Hall of Fame thing and want to see those people. So it's a lot of pride. And we had quite a span going in there too. So it's a lot of fun to see those kids have that success and be recognized and live that tradition of success.
Last thing for you, John Schimmel's been open and publicly talked about the next phase of athletic facilities, and the hope is to have another indoor facility that can be utilized a lot for track and some other sports, but track and field. How could your program benefit from that next phase if and when it gets done?
Well, I think it's twofold, and you know, I appreciate that John's got that mission to try to do that. I think when we look at it, we think the Dakota Dome is a great facility, and honestly, it's a great spot for a track meet. But USD's kind of grown past that. We're to a spot now where our football team is hopefully playing until January. We're no longer in the days where by Thanksgiving you picked up the turf and you had a wood floor down in the middle and people were playing and running, and Coach Lavin and Coach Boots were yelling at us to get off the track. And I mean, all that stuff has gone past that now. So that's really the next step in the evolution of Division I athletics at USD, is football needs a facility where they can train year-round, and track and field needs to have that facility too. And we've been very fortunate. We have some great friends at Mount Marty that have worked with us here the last month and given us someplace to go. I'm as happy as anybody in the country that our football team is playing well, but it also means we don't have a place to practice. So it's a good thing. And the way to solve it is football keep winning, and track and field, let's build a new facility. So we've had some meetings. We're looking at trying to build a 200-meter bank track, which would be the only one in the Summit League and one of maybe four in the whole Midwest. So it would be a state-of-the-art facility. People don't maybe know, but John Schimmel was the one who raised a lot of money for the outdoor track. So when John Schimmel gets an idea, he's a get-it-done guy. And he has a vision of, if we're going to do these things, let's do it at the highest level. Let's not just put up a Quonset hut and put a little track in it and call it a USD athletic facility. But let's build something really special that everybody in the Summit League, and quite honestly, hopefully everybody in the nation, will want to come and compete at, because we've got some designs and we think it can be the best indoor track facility in the country. So we're excited about that. We're still looking for that donor. If you'd like to write a little check, just give me a call. I'd be happy to come meet with you. But it's all, you have to have a plan first, and then you get people to buy into your plan, and we've got some people that are listening, and so we're working on it. So we're really excited about that, and our athletes deserve that. Our kids work extremely hard, and they deserve to have that facility to be able to practice in, you know, when it gets cold and you can't be outside anymore.
We're all excited about the continued growth of things at USD, and lucky that's the same for your program as well. I know you're excited about the season. Alumni meet coming up this weekend. Chance to check out both basketball and track and field at the same time. Pop into both of them. Both be going on a little bit overlapping there during the time on Saturday. Lucky, thanks for the time. Really appreciate it. Have a great season.
Thanks, and great visiting with you, and just wish everyone to come on out. We start around noon with some field events, and like I said, we'll be done at 5, so after the basketball game, swing back over and let's see how the Emily pole vaults and how the 4x4s finish up after the basketball game. So have a great day and go Yotes.
That is Lucky Huber. He is the director of track and field and cross country at the University of South Dakota, and talk about someone who has committed a lifetime to the University of South Dakota. Need to continue to appreciate people like Lucky Huber, who have stayed at USD for a very long time, has continued to build successful programs, successful individuals, and you can't just overlook what they're doing, because it's a special effort, certainly for track and field. All right, before we wrap things up, let's take a look at what is going on in Coyote Athletics. On Thursday night, men's basketball takes on Oral Roberts. It's a 7 o'clock start time in the Sanford Coyote Sports Center. It's First Responders Appreciation Night, so two free tickets can be claimed by mentioning First Responders at the ticket office. Then on Saturday, men's basketball is back home. They'll take on North Dakota State at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Pregame coverage on the Coyote Sports Network at 1:30. We'll have all the basketball games all season on the Coyote Sports Network, so check it out. Otherwise, all of them always available on the Summit League Network as well. Swimming and diving is set to compete at South Dakota State on Saturday. That gets underway at 10 a.m. and track and field starts at noon for the USD alumni meet. A handful of teams in attendance. Outside of that, some alumni will get an opportunity to compete. See, they still got it. They'll do that. Sunday, women's tennis is scheduled to play in Columbia, Missouri at the University of Missouri. And looking ahead to next week, women's basketball back home in the Sanford Coyote Sports Center on Wednesday night as they take on North Dakota State. So it's heating up with Coyote Athletics, tennis, swimming and diving, track and field, basketball, all of it getting underway. Before you know it, in the blink of an eye, I think I might have said this before, but before you know it, softball is going to be started. It always fascinates me when they get started, but we are less than a month away from softball. They are scheduled to open up at the Lion Classic February 7th in Commerce, Texas. So we will talk softball and all that stuff coming up here throughout the next few months here of the season. All right, that's going to do it for us this week. Big thanks to Lucky Huber for taking some time to talk track and field with us this week. I'm John Thayer. Have yourself a tremendous weekend. As always, stay safe and go Yotes.
Thanks for listening to Yotecast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation on the Coyote Sports Network.